Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
I will tell you, there's still those that are standing straight up and erect, and they're stiffening their neck and their back, and they're saying, I'm not going to humble myself before God. But if there's any lesson out of this situation and this crisis that's going on right now worldwide, is that you better humble yourself up underneath the mighty hand of God and repent.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Thank you for joining us again on Revive Radio. Let's begin a new teaching series with Pastor Rogers. This series is taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Rebuild Part 1, a study in the book of Nehemiah. Let's get into the message today.
Nothing can separate me from the love of God, because God will never stop loving me, because He is a covenant-keeping God. That's what Nehemiah was praying right here. God keeps His covenants to 1,000 generations, promises and covenants. He gives us, listen to this quickly, I'm moving. He gives us promises that leads us into a covenant. Okay? Abraham, I promise you, I'm going to bless your life. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, here's a covenant for you. I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him. And when you do that, hear me, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you that swear by myself that blessing, God said, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And He says, look up. Tonight, when you go outside, when you look up at the stars, there's a covenant in the stars tonight, because God said to Abraham, when you look up in the stars, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And guess what? The stars are still twinkling out there as a covenant from God to Abraham. He said, go down to the seashore and look at the sands of the sea. If you can count all those, pick them all up, that's how many descendants you're going to have. I promise you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm making it by a covenant. And Abraham went through a blood covenant. When you rehearse God's promises, you actually start believing them. That leads you to a covenant. Here's the third thing. Nehemiah confessed Israel's sinfulness. This is important right here, because this is where the church has got to be. Look at verse number 6 and 7. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thy heart and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayers of thy servant. He goes on to say, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both, listen to this, he says, both I and my father's house have sinned. Verse 7. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments or the statutes or the judgments or which thou commandest by thy servant Moses. Look at Nehemiah. Hey, listen to me now. Don't lose this, because this is the critical component to coming out of this plague, because we're not out of it yet. Nehemiah, when he prayed, listen, Nehemiah does not, it's on your paper, he does not rationalize his own faithfulness before he confesses the sins of Israel, and including his own house. Nehemiah had not sinned, but Nehemiah said, God, I'm sorry for the sins that I and my house and all of the nations have committed. Now, I'm going to say something. Here we go on the controversial tree limb. The governor of the state of New York, just 1 year prior to this happening, was applauding the fact that they had opened up and legalized abortion to the extent of the child being born. And if you remember, they clapped their hands, and 1 year later, he has the highest death toll in all of the United States. You better hear what I'm saying to you tonight. You might not like to hear what I'm saying, but it's truth, ladies and gentlemen. And judgment will fall upon a nation who continues to say, applaud sin, call good evil and evil good. You better come on, somebody. The sins of a nation must be repented over by the church. Well, I haven't done anything wrong. Are you living then ladies and gentlemen, it takes the church. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And if the people of God don't stay in repentance with a repentant heart, what's the world going to do? Here's number four. We're coming quickly. He asked God for help. Verse number 11. He said, Lord, give me mercy. What was he saying? Nehemiah prayed, this is on your paper, but he also prepared to take action at the right opportunity. He said, Lord, give me mercy. Give me favor with the king. Can't you hear him praying? Lord, give me favor with leaders. I want you to pray for that for me and for other pastors. I just told my pastor friend on the way here, as we are preparing for reopening, I'm going to notify the sheriff's office and the government officials of our community what we're going to do. I'm not going to leave them in the dark. I called them whenever we were going to have a drive-in service, and before the governor shut it all down, we're not able to. Some of you just drove up anyway, you rebellious bunch of people. I'm glad you came. But I'm just going to tell you, we need to work in tandem. And I'm going to call our officials and say, hey, this is what we're going to be doing. Because I don't need the sheriff's department showing up here, walking through the door, and embarrassing your pastor or embarrassing your church because we've done something that we haven't let them know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what he's praying. You pray with me. God, give us favor with our officials. In fact, let them highlight what's taking place. Let me tell you, you should be looking. They tell me it's going to be running during the news time. I don't know. But I cut a program, a short commercial, about 30-second commercial the other day to put on WEAR just to let the community and everyone in their viewing area know that Pace Assembly is praying for them. Why did I do that? First of all, because they invited me to do it. Second of all, ladies and gentlemen, is because in this very critical hour, we need to have the people of our community around this area be looking towards the church. Not the government, the church in this hour for their hope and for their future. Come on, say amen, somebody. Listen, it's on your paper. Remember, in the times of crisis, the believer has immediate access to God. Think about it. You don't have to wait till Wednesday night and Sunday. Write it down. Prayer actually opens up our spiritual vision. And I want to say something critical for you here tonight before we get ready to close. Count the cost of unexpected things and unexpected change. There's going to be unexpected things coming. I'm just telling you. Unexpected change that happens. Count the cost. Don't go out and blow all the funds that you got from the government or your unemployment check or whatever it may be. Don't go out there and just spend like you're going crazy. There's so many people that say, you know, I can't wait till this opens or that opens. You better be careful. Be slow. Be prepared to sacrifice into the future. I don't know what it's going to look like, and neither do you. Be prepared. Prayer will help you prepare for unexpected things. Prayer keeps us sensitive to the subtle changes of the Holy Spirit while we're navigating through this deal. This is lessons coming from Nehemiah. In fact, look at this. Nehemiah did not pray for God to rebuild the walls. Write it down. Nehemiah did not pray for God to rebuild the walls. He prayed for the opportunity for him to rebuild the walls. Listen, some folks are saying, God, you come on down here and do it. No, God's going to use our hands. He's going to use our feet. He's going to use our mind through us. Write this down. Nehemiah prayed for opportunities through God. He planned for success in the vision of God. And he proceeded in the timing of God. Now we're coming to a close here tonight. I want to give this to you. Nehemiah's strategy was twofold as we start this Lessons for Leaders in Nehemiah. Here it is. Plan and pray. Pray and plan. Why is that so important? Let me tell you something. Come on, William, you're here. Some people will not be ready for what's coming. We weren't ready for this, much less what it's going to look like. Pastor, what's it going to look like? When I can't wait to get back. I get it. And me too. I'm excited about it. There's nobody more excited about it. But hear me. I don't know what it's going to be. That's why we must be a people of prayer. Because the Holy Spirit knows what is the mind of God, and he will lead us and guide us into all truth, the Bible says. Get this. Some people are not going to be ready to progress out of this crisis because they have no plan and they have no strategy. Let me just tell you, and call me whatever you want to call me, but today I instructed my staff to prepare ourselves not only for the crisis that we're in even further into the next few months, but I said to them, I need you to look 3 and 4 months down the line, because what if? See, good leaders have an answer to a problem even if the problem never comes. I'm going to say that to you again because that's not on your paper. Good leaders have an answer to the problem even if the problem never comes. The reason why many people falter is because they never get an answer for the potential question. So watch this. This is what I said. We're in this crisis right now. We've got to get things prepared for the reopening. We're going to need this, 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 and this. But I want you to think about adding 10 to 20%, because what if we have, God forbid, a hurricane hit this area? Pastor, don't even say it. I don't want to say it. But you know the problem? You want to know why so many people were going crazy over ventilators and all that kind of stuff? And I heard the report from the governor today. We had more than 3,000 ventilators in the state of Florida that were available at any time. And yet they told us that we were going to be occupying every bed and all this kind of stuff. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but the governor told us today we've got more than 3,000 ventilators that are available to us right now. We didn't use 1/4 of the beds that are available in hospitals, he said. But that's not the point. The point is that there were many states that were totally unprepared because they never expected that to come. And I came to tell you, when tornadoes are coming through our area and plagues are coming through our area and we live on the coast where hurricanes come and the season for hurricane is coming, it is a foolish man, the Bible says, that does not prepare for his future. In fact, let me give you a few verses. Write this down real quick, because here's what Nehemiah did. I love Nehemiah. He's taught me so much. In one of the greatest crises of my life in ministry, I literally would take the book of Nehemiah on a daily basis and I would read through. And what would happen, the situations would come to me and I already had an answer for them because I read the book of Nehemiah and already was ready to respond. It didn't make me perfect and I failed in many cases, but I had the manual of leadership on how to carry my church through that crisis. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm a list maker, and guess what? Nehemiah was too. You know what Nehemiah did? He was praying and fasting, and I can see him with his parchment out there, and he wrote down, he said, first of all, fast and pray. Are y'all taking notes over here? I just want to find out. Fast and pray. Then the second thing, I could see him writing it down. The Holy Spirit speaking to him, he said, get an audience with the king. And then he probably wrote down, okay, so we're going to rebuild this over here. We're going to need some lumber. So he wrote it down. Get some lumber. Worst thing you could do is go to the king and him ask you, what do you need? And you go, I don't know. Right? Am I right about it? Come on, somebody. You're a child. You want to go to your parent and you want something. You want a, what's one of those things? A VR. Last time I said it, Nintendo 64, somebody almost kicked me. Huh? A Nintendo Switch, that's the latest thing, right? Okay, you're thinking about it, but you never planned for it. And here your daddy or mom or somebody, grandparents are ready to write the check. And little grandkid comes up and they say, well, what do you want? I don't know. That ain't the time to say I don't know. Write yourself a list, and when you arrive in the presence of the king, you got the list, and he says, what do you want? And you say, I've been fasting and praying about this. I need some lumber. In fact, I don't need just any lumber. Nehemiah said, I need lumber from the cedars of Lebanon. He said, you got it. What else you need? We're going to see it in the next few weeks. He said, what else you need? He said, I'm going to need a letter from you because I know I'm going to have some accusers that's going to tell me that I'm breaking the guidelines of the CDC and everything else. But if I've got a letter signed by you, I'm going to go ahead and have church anyway. Oh, my God, I'm fixing to shout and run right out at you.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.